You know, the devil does have us in his sights. And I hate to say this, but we're almost a sure hit. We're all carrying wounds from the devil. And to be honest about it, he's always after the biggest, best one. The hunter is, and that's who the devil's after. And then I've also thought, I'm thank the Lord for the habitat he gives the deer to protect himself. And I'm glad for the habitat we have. Amen. 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 And just kind of threw that in for extra. I'll be honest as I can be. You know that usually the hunter goes to the deer's territory. The devil, he'll come to your territory. He'll come to your home and he'll come to your church and he'll try to destroy you in your territory. But I'm not going to preach that tonight, even though I threw that in for extra and I'd like to have that sausage. Try to save myself here a little bit, but I'm reminded sometimes the guy woke up one morning, he had three hairs in his head, and he said, I think I'll just braid my hair today. And then he woke up a month or two later, had two hairs in his head, and he said, I think I'll just part my hair today. And then he woke up and had one hair in his head, and he said, I think I'll just wear a ponytail today. And then he woke up, had no hair in his head, and he said, Lord, thank you, I don't have to do anything with my hair today. That's kind of how I feel. Just time to take life as it comes. Amen? That's just kind of where we're at in life, and I thank the Lord for His goodness. Good to have some of my family here tonight, and I'm glad they've come. And I want to say just a couple things, because I want to give thanks while I think thanks is due. First of all, I want to thank Reggie for having those 10 guys pray with me this morning. And I'm going to tell you why. I've been preaching 32 years. I thought when Reggie mentioned over 30 years, I've been 32 years in the ministry. Most folks that know me, the Lord has been good to me and blessed me and used me. And I want to be used. But be honest about it, physically, mentally, spiritually, probably the first time in 32 years I really have struggled with God's will. And probably one of the hardest things was we were pastoring in Arkansas for 3 years, and Bernetta's mom grew ill, and Bernetta's the only girl. And my dad was a month behind from even starting his hay, and we just felt led to come home and help our folks. And it's been hard for me to readjust, because almost some days I feel like a sinner doing that. But then it's everything I preached about. You know, helping your family or helping your mom and your dad, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. But I've had to readjust some things in my life that have it's been difficult for me. I don't care to tell you. I'm not going to lie to y'all and beat around the bush. It's been hard for me. Been easier probably for Bernetta and my family. Glad I'm home, but it's been harder for me. And so you pray for me, and I appreciate those prayers this morning. And I feel like God picked up on the other end and said hello. I felt better after that prayer, and I was glad about that. And then something else I want to thank Reg for is he don't know this, and I'm going to tell him so he does know it. But several weeks ago, maybe a year or two ago, he preached a message, Take Another Look at the Coat. I wasn't here for that message. My son, Joseph, got that message in his truck. And I was going down the road and I listened to that message. The message talked about the deception of the devil. And it also talked about how the devil, be honest about it, works behind the scenes. And something else in that message that really, he'll set you up to come to a wrong conclusion. And my dad used to call it, instead of taking another look at the coat, he kind of called it this, you need to lick your calf over. Going to take a new look. And I don't care to tell Reg, I've preached that message in Alabama, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and places. And maybe not word for word, but I've used some thoughts from him, and I want to thank him for that. That message helped me and encouraged me and strengthened me. And I know sometimes he might not think some of those messages do much good, but it helps folks that don't not even hear when he preaches them. And I want you to know I've told my kids, that's one of my most I just love that message. And there were some things in there I'd never thought about, never saw. And God blessed. And I don't know where he got it. I hope the good Lord give it to him. And I just love it. I still love you anyway. It don't matter. All right. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn me to Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7. And some of you are familiar with the book of Hosea. The first part of Hosea is pretty much about an unfaithful wife. And be honest about it, Hosea, first few chapters, talks about God's restraining grace. And I don't know about you, aren't you glad when temptation is great, the opportunity is not there? And when the opportunity is there, it seems like the temptation is not there. And God helps us through situations in life. But you remember what He did? He shut up her way and put a wall so she couldn't find her path. And God, no matter how much we disobey God, I'm glad God comes on the scene lots of times and says, enough's enough, and I'm going to stop this. And I thank the Lord for that. But then in this part of the Hosea, it talks a lot about the sinfulness of Israel. And so I want you to read with me, and if you'd like to stand with me for the reverence of God's Word while we read Hosea chapter 7, I'd like you to stand for the reading. The Bible said, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they committed a falsehood, and the thief came in, and the troops of robbers, and spoiled without. They considered not in their hearts that I remembered all their wickedness. Now of their own doings have beset them about, they are before my face. They made the kings glad with their wickedness and the princesses with their lies. They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who has ceased from raising after he has kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made himself sick with bottles of wine, and he stretched out his hand with the scorners. They have made ready their heart like an oven. While they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all the night, and in the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges, and all their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testify to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call unto Egypt and go to Assyria. Let us pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your goodness. Oh God, I appreciate so much the opportunity and the privilege to proclaim the gospel once again this side of eternity. Lord, what an honor it is to get to preach so close to home. I thank you, Lord, for that privilege. Lord, it seems like nearly all the time now, Lord, it's never real close to home. And Lord, one thing I enjoyed tonight was the shortness of the drive, coming to this place and proclaiming the gospel. Lord, I pray that you bless tonight. Lord, you know all about this service. There's nothing, Lord, hid from you. And oh God, I pray that you'll just anoint us and speak through us tonight. And may we preach the unadulterated truth of the Word of God without fear or favor of mankind. Lord, if somebody's lost, we'd pray tonight they'll be saved. And Lord, I pray that you'll just build a fire in our hearts tonight that'll never cease to burn. And Lord, send me some good help and hide me behind the cross and give me the words to say and make it easy for me to preach. And Lord, bless this congregation, bless this pastor and this church. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's here tonight. Those that are not here, they're on our mind. I pray, Lord, old-time conviction. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. The text says this was a time when God would have healed Israel. Let me just say before I preach tonight that
I wouldn't be a hypocrite and go to the hospital and pray for the sick if I didn't believe in a God that can heal. But I want to say more than that. God's wanting to heal our country. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. God's in the healing business. The problem that Israel had was fatal. And the problem that we have is fatal. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. I don't know about you tonight, it wasn't just fatal, it was malignant. You can say what you want, by one man sinner the world, death by sin, death was pronounced on all men for all have sinned. So you hear me tonight, God, even though it was fatal and malignant, God is able tonight to heal. And I don't know about you, I like that scripture says He's able to do above all we ask or think. And then God's willing. He's willing that none should perish, but all would come to repentance. And then God is ready because He says, today's the day and now's the time. You mark it down tonight. He's willing. He's able. And He's ready to heal our nation. And I'm glad about that, aren't you? And they were having a problem because the Bible said He wanted to heal them. But in the midst of healing them, Ephraim was discovered. It said it was the wickedness of Samaria, the iniquity of Israel. In other words, it would be like you going to the doctor. And when you go to the doctor, he says to you, it's going to be minor surgery. Well, I know if it's on you, it's major, but he says it's minor. And he says you're going to be well quick with a speedy recovery. But when the doctor gets in there, he finds that things are much worse than he thought they was. This is kind of a picture tonight of America that probably things are a lot worse than we ever imagined. I look around and I see so little, and be honest about it, I haven't had a television since June, and I don't miss hardly anything, but I don't know much about the news anymore, and I'm being real honest with you, and you can say what you want to. I honestly think things are a lot worse than I ever imagined they are. And he said it was a time when I would have healed, but Ephraim was discovered. He said they had committed a falsehood. And I tell you tonight, there's lots of falsehoods going on today. If you don't believe that, then you don't believe the scripture that said, preach the word and be instant in season out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. And then he said the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap themselves together teachers, having itching ears, and be turned away from the truth and on the fables. There are lots of falsehoods being committed. And they had committed a falsehood. And it says the enemy had come in, and the enemy, yeah, I read it, you're hearing, the enemy robbed them. And that's what he's done in the church. You can say what you want to. He's robbed us of our joy. He's robbed us. Listen, I don't know about the rest of you. He's robbed us of our power. The enemy's come in and he's robbed us. And if you read the text like I read the text, it says that he came in with his troops. Just like God's got his people, the devil's got his people. Brother, he robbed in the church, and then if you read a little further, it said he spoiled them without. He didn't just hurt us within the church, he hurt us outside the church. He spoiled us without, and I'm just telling you, I'm being honest with you tonight. We're not just hurt in the church, we're hurt outside the church. You say it's a prayer they took, shame they took prayer out of school, but I'll just tell you something, brother. They'd have never took it out of school, you hadn't took it out of your home. He's hurt us on the outside. It's not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve, and brother, he's took away the sanctity of marriage outside. You can say what you want to. Nowadays, brother, and nobody talks much about marriage. He that findeth the wife findeth a good thing. They don't want to talk about that. We're living in a day, brother, when the enemy's hurt us within and he's hurt us without. And you read this text, it said even the princesses and the kings made themselves glad with their wickedness, and the princesses with their wine. Leadership was even glad of the sin that was being committed, and we're living in that day. I never thought I'd see a time when the leaders of our country almost laugh about sin. And you can say what you want. Fools make a mock of sin. There ain't nothing funny about sin. I always say this, and I'll be honest. It ain't funny when a young girl comes to the altar and she's weeping and crying and she's expecting a child and she don't love him and he don't love her. Nothing funny about that. I'm telling you, brother, you're foolish if you laugh about sin. And the leadership in that day was laughing and mocking. The kings were laughing about the wickedness and the princesses about their lies. And you know what he said? He said their judges were being devoured and their kings were falling. And he said, nobody called unto me. And that's just where we're at. And you read on a little bit further. It said that their stranger come in and robbed them of their power and they didn't know it. And it said he even came and their hair got gray. And they didn't know it. And you read the last part I read in your hair, and he said they became like a silly dove. They didn't have no heart. Didn't have no direction and had gave up and threw in the towel and didn't have no heart to keep on keeping on. And that's kind of where we're at. And he says, Ephraim, and you know something else he says? They've even forgot that they're doing it before my face. And he even says this. They didn't just forget they did it before my face. It was of their own doing. And he also says this. He says, they even forgot that I remembered their iniquities. And then he says, Ephraim has mixed himself. Now hear me. Somebody says, well, what's wrong with America? What's wrong with us? What have we done so wrong? He said they discovered Ephraim. And then he says Ephraim has mixed himself. Committed a falsehood. I don't know a lot about mixing. I'm no cook. Bernetta, she's been doing all the cooking. We got 7 kids, 23 grandkids, and 1 on the way. And she still does the cooking. I don't know nothing about cooking. I try not to learn much about cooking, isn't it? And she'd like me probably to do more when it comes to cooking out and that kind of thing. I know so very little better. But in my house, I found a box, and that box, on that box says Betty Crocker. And it's how to make fudge brownies. I saw that. And Betty Crocker must have knew she was making those boxes for people like me, because there's big red bold letters on the back of the box. And the first letter that I saw said STIR. Stir.
Amen.
And there was another box there, Betty Crocker, that says beat and whip. And everybody knows what that means. It's the same thing as stir. Beat it, whip it, whatever. And so I'm thinking. And then it says, if you want to make fudge brownies, you take this Betty Crocker mix and you put some raw eggs and you put some bacon oil. And you mix that with that mix and you get these fudge brownies. But see, I got to thinking, in that same house where that Betty Crocker box is, I've got a little ketchup. And you know, why don't I mix a little of that in there? I got a little bit of hot sauce. Why don't we mix a little of that in there? Got a little milk? We could mix some of that in there. It's all in the same house, you know. We could mix some of that in there. And why don't we just go ahead and, while we're at it, and put a little mustard in there? We got that. We mix a little of that, little relish. We could put some of that in there. And I'm just being honest with you. It's all in the same house. It's right there, handy and available. Betty Crocker, she says we're trying to make fudge brownies, but why don't we just mix it all? See, the problem that Israel had is the same problem that would be wrong with mixing. Listen, brother, we're not trying to make fudge brownies. We're trying to make Christians. And I'm telling you what we've done. We've committed a falsehood, and we've mixed ourselves with everything.
We wonder why we got problems. I'll tell you why we got problems. We're so mixed up on what we believe, and we mixed ourselves with everything. And the Bible said you hadn't ought to be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And brother, I'll tell you what we've done. We've mixed ourselves with the world. Instead of the world being away from the church, we brought the world into the church. And now we wonder why we've got problems. It's not hard to figure out what they've done. They've done the same thing. Brother, if you want fudge brownies, you better get the right ingredients. And if you want a Christian, he don't need to mix himself with everything. I've had folks say, well, Brother John, when you get saved, should you throw the bottle out? And should you get rid of those dirty magazines? Bible said old things pass away and all things become new. I'll be honest with you, brother. I don't think you can live a Christian life and keep that stuff in your home. Get rid of that stuff. You can't mix the alcohol and the pornography and all the things, brother, in your life and expect to come out a child of God. And I'll tell you, Ephraim had done the same thing a lot of folks have done. They've mixed themselves with everything that they should have never been involved in. And that was what was wrong with Israel, and that's what's wrong with us. Brother, we've committed a falsehood. We let the enemy come in, and he's robbed us. And we've mixed ourselves with everything. And then we wonder why we've got problems. I'm just telling you, brother, we're living in that day. People are all mixed up on what they're doing and what they believe. Secondly, they mix themselves. I read it earlier, said it was other own doings. Hey, I'm no cook. But you read this text, like I read, it said, you're like a baker that left the stove on. And he went to sleep. And when he woke the next morning, it was burning like a flaming fire. Out of control. And he said, you're all hot. Bunch of hot air, amen? Somebody said, what would you entitle this sermon, Bunch of Hot Air? Flesh had took over. I just tell you, brother, I don't know much about cooking, but I'm going to tell you something, brother. You mix yourself, it's wrong. But I'm telling you, if you don't learn to control your oven, it's wrong too. If you're going to cook, you need to know how to run the stove. Bible said, where there's no wood, the fire goeth out. I'm telling you, brother, half the problem we got, we just keep throwing wood on the fire and wonder why we're burning out of control. Yep. You need to learn to control that. They'd mix themselves with everything there was to mix themselves with. And now he said it was their own fault. Who do you think's going to control the oven if you don't? Quit blaming the preacher and blaming everyone. Listen, brother, every tub sits on its own bottom. It's not, brother, everybody else's fault. It's your own fault. I said to Bernetta this morning, where are we going to church? That's the first time we've said that in years. I didn't have to preach this morning. I said, where are we going to church? I said, well, I'll tell you what I think we'll do. We'll go to Regis because at least he'll preach at us. Yeah. Hey, you can say what you want to. I'm not going to mix myself with everything. And something else I'm not going to do. Brother, I'm going to learn how to control myself. There's some areas in my life I need to work on. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, this old baker let the stove get out of control. He went to sleep. And, brother, that's exactly what we've done. And it was burning out of control. And, brother, if you don't control that, nobody's going to. You're the one that needs to say no. You're the one that needs to stop it. I just tell you something else while it's on my heart. Brother, if you've got a problem with your temper, you need to get it in check. Amen? I'm telling you, if you got a problem with jealousy, you need to get it in check. Some folks say, well, isn't it a shame that some folks don't know any more Bible the day they got saved? God help us. We're the one responsible. The prodigal thou son didn't say, it's my mom and my dad. When he went and he said to his father, I've sinned. And until you admit you've got a problem and you're the problem and you're the one doing wrong, you'll never change nothing in your life. You can ask my kids. I don't like to eat crow, but you might as well eat it while it's hot. Amen? I don't like doing it. Johnny come home from school, got an F and P. I was aggravated. I said, anybody can pass B. He said, well, that ain't right. They've made a mistake. I said, they don't make mistakes like that. I said, you're lying to me. You're goofing off up there. The next day, after I punished him,
teacher called me. She had made a mistake. Bernetta remembers it. I'm telling you. He's going to eat crow, you might as well eat while it's hot, because I remember having to go to him. Telling him I was sorry. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Sometimes you need to stand on your own two feet. Israel's problem was they're listening to everybody else. Nobody is standing up for what they believed. I'm telling you, there comes a time in America, brother, you can't mix yourself with everything, and you're the one that needs to make that change. I love you, Dad, but you're the head of that home. And you ought to do everything you can to try to live godly lives and train your children the way they ought to go. We're living in a society today that even's against that. Amen? The little boy, you heard about the little boy in Walmart kicking his grandpa's heels, and the grandpa was aggravated, and he said, "No, no, Albert, don't do it, Albert. Quit it, Albert." And the lady said, "Boy, you sure got a lot of patience with Albert." And he said, "Ma'am, he's Billy and I'm Albert." Hey, I'm telling you, sometimes, brother, we need to get a lid on some things. Amen? Kind of, we get nowadays, they say, "Oh, take time out." Brother, my dad believed in time out. Time out to whip you. God help us, brother. We're the one that's going to have to do different. But the real scripture tonight in this text, he said, "We're a cake not turned." Now, there's a couple things that could mean. A cake not turned could mean you got two sides. Haven't turned the cake. Are you all like me? I got two sides. You all see this side. Bernetta, she sees the other side. I got a spiritual side. I got a flesh side. I wish I didn't have, but I do. And We went one time years ago. We went when she first learned it. We were just young, married, and we'd gone to Branson and riding that waterboggin ride. And that guy, he was putting her on the waterboggin. He kept saying, "Hun, sit right over here, hun." Well, I'd heard "hun" till I didn't want to hear "hun." I finally told the guy, I said, "Listen, that's my wife. She ain't your hun, and I'd appreciate if you'd quit calling her hun." Bernetta, she said, she wouldn't ride it no more. She said, "I'm embarrassed, and I ain't going to ride it no more." But your flesh, just something about that two sides. And Israel had a problem with her flesh. But that's really not what he's talking about here. He's saying you're a cake not turned. See, the first thing, they were mixed themselves. Second thing, they had some air. They need to learn how to work the stove. But the third thing I see in this is a cake not turned. Betty Crocker had something else on that box that I remember reading. It said B-A-K-E. Bake. And Bernetta says if it says 30 minutes, it means 30 minutes. It don't mean 40. Well, you know, I'm no rocket scientist, but listen, if you have a little horse sense of Bobby, you can figure this out. A cake not turned must mean they needed to turn the cake, or it'd ruin, and you'd make a mess. I like to eat cake, but I'll be honest, it'd be the farthest thing from my mind to ruin something that would be good. I hate to tell you all this, and it breaks my heart, but I've seen the devil ruin a lot of things that God intended for them to be good. I've seen a lot of messes. Not fit for nothing. Hey, I've seen some cakes people have had to throw them out. You hear me? I'm telling you tonight, enough. What he's really saying is enough's enough. How long are you going to let this thing burn? When are you going to flip that cake? How long are you going to be out of control? How long are you going to let it slide? When are you going to say,
enough's enough. I'm going to make something good out of my life. How long are you going to let it go? You just going to keep on keeping on? Hey, I'm telling the truth tonight. You've mixed yourself with everything this world's got to offer. And I'm telling you, brother, if you don't take no responsibility of your own self and you don't flip that cake, brother, I'll tell you what you're going to make. You're going to make a mess. You hear me? I'll tell you what I saw. I may have saw it here. I don't know where I saw it. I saw a guy take a vessel of clay. He was working with pottery, and he made a beautiful vessel. And when he got through with it, I'll never forget it as long as I live, because it stands out in my mind. When he got through making it so pretty, I'll never forget, he just took it and he smashed it. And I'm thinking to myself, he just ruined all that work. What's this guy doing? And I'll never forget that night. He sent me a message. But that's what can happen to your life. God can mold it and make it and work it. And you can let the devil come along and mess it all up in a moment's time after all that work. And I'll never forget. That still stands out in my mind. You hear me tonight. A cake not turned. How long are you going to let it burn? Wouldn't you like to have something worth eating? Israel had gone until they'd made a mess. Their hair got gray and they didn't even know it. Years had gone by and they weren't even aware of it. A stranger come and stole their strength and they didn't know it. They lost their hearts. How long are you going to let it go? Oh, I'll tell you what the old flesh will tell you. I know how it works, the old flesh. It'll tell you, I like to ride horses once in a while. I'll tell you what it tells me. You ain't been riding like you ought to be. You ought to be riding more, John. They have them trail rides on Sunday. You're missing out. And the old spirit says you ought to be in church. Who do you think's going to draw the line if I don't? Hey, I tell you, brother, some of them big shopping sales, they purposely got them on the weekend. Yeah. Shop till you drop on them days. Say what you want to. The old flesh says you're getting behind on your shopping. And the old spirit says you'll be in church and you'll be praying, you'll be soul winning. Now, who do you think's going to draw a line if you don't? Hey, they more ball games. Listen, brother, I know how they have them, and I know when they have them. And they used to rather have them, brother, when it didn't affect the church, but now they don't even consider the church. And the old flesh will tell you, you ought to be going to that ball game tomorrow. The old grandkids are playing. And they old, listen, I'm telling you, how long are you going to let it burn? You going to make a mess? Listen, God wasn't pleased. They were doing it right in front of him, right before his face, he said. I'd entitle a message tonight, A Cake Not Turned. I just tell you what I think. I think you got to get rid of some things, work on some things, and draw a line on some things. And say enough's enough. When are you going to change your life? You're going to wait till next month, till the mess is made? I often thought this. I wrote it down in my Bible. You're going to wait till after you get burnt? It wouldn't be very much fun to leave your stove on all night and go to sleep and wake up the next morning and it's burning like a flaming fire. You talk about a mess. I ain't trying to scare you, but I know some homes and families and folks that just let it keep burning and burning and burning. Breaks my heart to see the mess the devil made. And I'm glad Red's talked this morning about forgiveness, and I'm glad the Lord forgives and forgets.
And I'm glad He can erase your past and you can start white as the snow. And I'm glad for all of that. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. We're not God. We'll think about that till the day we die. It'll haunt you. You hear me tonight. Not hard to figure out. They mixed themselves. And they were like a cake. They just got all messed up. Somebody, not too long ago, I'll never forget it. We went to church. They were having a dinner at the church. And they were bringing stuff. And a lady in the church didn't. She'd been sick, so her husband, he didn't want to bring anything made, so he went to the store and he bought a cake. I'll never forget it. Joe remembers this. Probably the funniest night I ever remember in my life. Well, there was a new girl working at the... She was working in the place where they decorated and made the cakes. And they had several of those fake cakes out there that were styrofoam. And she didn't know the difference. She was a new girl. Joe remembers this. And they sold him this cake. Well, he's so proud. I'll never forget how proud he was. I could call him by name. He brought the cake to the church. And it was deceptive. I'm telling you, it's probably, truthfully, the best-looking cake there. And it was just a refreshment and cake night that night. And it was a surprise to everyone because even the ladies that were getting ready to serve it got a surprise. And they all set in to cut the cake. And I'm telling you, I never seen anybody more embarrassed in their life. They finally brought the cake over to him, set it down in front of him, the guy that brought it. And asked him if he'd go ahead and cut it, because they already knew. That poor guy, I'll never forget his face and how he felt and how embarrassed he was. And I remember I couldn't help it. You know, a preacher ought to have helped him, but I couldn't hold my face straight. Everybody was in a... just beside himself, and he turned more red, more embarrassed, And even to this day, people remind him about the cake he brought. And he's so embarrassed about it, he never took it back. Never has took it back. He never got his money back. But I've said all that to say this. You can be sure your sin will find you out. Hey, you can make them cakes look good, but reality is going to hit home one of these days. I'm going to tell you, enough's enough. I don't know if you're a Christian tonight, but I'll tell you how long you're going to wait to be one. How many messes you're going to make, and how many things are you going to destroy before you finally say enough's enough. I just tell you, this is a simple message tonight. I'm telling you, the same thing was wrong with them is wrong with us. We've mixed everything and thought, brother, we can produce Christians. You can't produce Christians that way. And I'll just tell you something else. You're the one going to have to make the change. Listen, I can beg you and plead with you and talk to you and encourage you and all them things, but listen, you're the one that's going to have to say, you know what, John? I'm going to make the change in my life. And I'm not going to do like them. And listen, I'm going to tell you, when you do it before God's face, God remembers. And God knows all about it. And you're not hiding from God. God sees what goes on in the parked car. God sees it all. And God knows about your life. And I just pray tonight that maybe God spoke to you in some way and said, you know what? Let's say enough. Let's flip this cake. If it says 30 minutes, we don't need to go 35. Let's not make it a cake that's not turned. Listen, you say, well, preacher, I got two sides. I've got a good side and a bad side. Listen, it's time to fix that. And let's have a spiritual side. And quit feeding the flesh. And let God take over in our lives. Let's do some things different. Let's stand together tonight. And I'd just like the piano player to come. And I just hate not to have an invitation tonight. I don't know tonight how you normally do, but this is just how I feel led. And we just have a verse of invitation tonight, and I want this piano player to play softly anything that they choose tonight, and nobody looking around, nobody looking around. And I want you to be honest tonight with yourself. That's the hardest one to be honest with. And then I want you to be honest with the good Lord, and then be honest with me. If you could do a better job tonight just saying, you know what, preacher, enough's enough. I'm going to make some changes and do some things different. I'm not going to be like Israel and let the devil rob me and spoil me and make a mess out of me. If you could do a better job standing up for what's right and doing what's right, and slip up your hand tonight and say, preacher, pray for me. I'd say enough's enough. Amen. 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 I see all those hands. Amen. 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 Let's be honest tonight. Enough's enough. Let's not let it get out of control. Let's not make a mess. Let's quit the sin business and just let God have His way in our hearts and lives. And put Him first. You know who you are. Let's just, you may want to pray for somebody else tonight, you know, that's in this same mess tonight. Why don't you just come as she's playing softly. If you'd like to come, you come tonight, okay? Come on, right now. Invitation's yours. If you'd like to come, slip out from where you are and you come tonight. Just let God have His way. Hey, I'm just telling the truth tonight. A cake not turned wouldn't be fit for nothing. Burn out of control. Oh, God, help us to get a lid on it. Help us to stop. Come on, Dad, Mom, young person, husband and wife, come together. Somebody will come with you. Don't be embarrassed about it. When are we going to get it right? Anyone else want to come? Folks are still coming if you'd like to come. Rest, you can be seated quietly and pray at your seats. I'm going to ask Reg to pray or call on someone to pray. Oh, God.